Welcome to Sustain This, a podcast where we discuss mindful consumption, personal style, and the quest for living a more intentional life. I'm Alyssa, a sustainable stylist.
And I'm Christina, a shopaholic turned minimalist-ish.
And I'm Sina, a color consultant and slow fashion style coach.
Together, we will unpack the nuances of what it really means to be a conscious consumer and find more joy in what we have right now. So grab your tea, your coffee, or whatever floats your boat and join us in the conversation. Let's go.
Yay.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the podcast. And if you're watching on YouTube, welcome back to our channel here. Today, we are going to talk about color analysis, and we're going to talk about why you're getting color analysis wrong.
Respectfully.
Yeah, respectfully. No, and not to like say anything bad about anyone or like slag off any techniques or anything, but we're gonna dive a little bit into it because it's very like huge everywhere right now. And
yes.
I think a lot of people will like fall into color analysis rabbit holes and get everything so confused and so overcomplicate things. It doesn't have to be that hard. So that's what we're gonna talk about today.
I'm excited to hear about this because, and I think, you know, like I'm doing like the filters on TikTok. I've had my colors done by the one and only Sina, so I know what my colors are and all of that. But sometimes when I'm going out to observe and just when people are like, oh, I'm a spring, I'm an autumn, I don't does that color make your face look brighter? Like, I don't know what to look for.
Right.
And to me, I'm like, is this made up? Like, does everything, this all just looks the same to me. Like, I don't understand. And like, it definitely isn't. Yeah. There's definitely some magic to it. Mm-hmm. Because like, I felt it myself. I'm like, why do I feel so drab and washed out? Or like I'm sick when I wear these certain colors or even certain makeup. So I think this is going to be a really helpful episode to sort of unearth color analysis and how to maybe do like a bit of a DIY approach.
Yes.
And we did have another episode on color analysis in season one, so we will leave that linked in the show notes. But I think this is another episode that will build on top of that one. And Sina will also have a lot of great visual examples for us. So if you are listening on Spotify, Apple, and thank you so much if you are, don't forget to rate the podcast. I think this episode may be more powerful and you'll get more value out of it if you watch it on YouTube for those visual examples. But if you can't, you're listening in the car, you're working out or whatever it is, we will do our best to describe the colors so that you can still get a sense of what we're talking about as we go through it.
Yes. All right, so we've been together now for a couple of days and we've already been talking a little bit about color analysis, especially like those filters that you mentioned on TikTok. You actually did a post and I have to comment.
I know. I think that filter is wrong. I feel like the colors were reversed or something.
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. But the thing is, like, the filters, like, I've done it on a couple of my clients just to try it out and to, like, see, okay, well, maybe you can use it a little bit. And sometimes it's like, no, I don't know. And kind of like what you say, like, you cannot, like, I think a lot of people can't see the difference. Like, people tell you all the time that, okay, your skin will glow and, like, your under eye bags are going to disappear. And it's like, okay, well, I don't see that happening at all.
Yeah.
So the filters are one thing that I think confuse people a lot. So be critical, I guess, kind of with like, where did that filter come from?
Take it with a grain of salt. Yeah.
Yes. But also, as mentioned in the first episode we did of our color analysis, I kind of explained the technique that I use. And it's something, it's not widely known as the seasonal approach where you have the spring and winter and autumn.
I wonder, why do you feel that that's like the dominant one? Or is that...
It's... I think it's the one that the first one that was invented.
Okay.
So Color Me Beautiful, where I've been trained, they used to work with that too, but then they moved over to tonal analysis through the years. And the big difference between the two, I think it's important to talk about the difference, is that seasonal analysis, you need to know your undertone to place yourself, even to figure out, okay, what season am I? I need to know my undertone. And that's where people get so confused.
Okay.
Whereas with tonal analysis, it's like, okay, I look at myself in the mirror and what's the first thing I think about? Like, so for you, okay, dark hair, dark eyes, contrast.
Yeah, same with Alyssa too.
Exactly.
Yeah.
For you, probably, you know, your deep. Like, that's deep. The first thing I think right. about. Like, you don't have super dark skin, but you right. have, like, dark hair, dark eyes, features. Deep. Like, that's what I think right. about when I look at you. Mm-hmm. Whereas for me, I have dark blonde hair. I have, like, mid-toned skin. I have, like, not super dark eyebrows, not a lot of contrast. So I think soft. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. it's trying to connect the dots between your most, like, dominant traits and then the colors you wear. Mm. So for me, like, I need, because I don't have to, but because I'm soft, okay, that explains that when I wear really bright colors, like a really bright red or like a bright fuchsia or something, mm-hmm. I feel like, whoa, this color is like really wearing me.
Right, mm. right.
Whereas for you, because yeah. you're deep and, you know, contrasting, when you wear a super pale pastel color, like a pale green,
for
example.
It blends into me.
Exactly.
It's like, and then it's not, yeah, yeah.
And I feel that approach, it just takes away some of the layers of confusion, especially evolving around undertone. Mm-hmm. So,
can you just explain what you mean by undertone?
Mm. Yeah, so undertone, people have an undertone in their skin, so you both have an overtone, but you also have an undertone. So the undertone is what will make your skin, like, for example, if you have a cool undertone in your skin, you'll often have, if you have lighter skin, for example, you'll have more of a rosy tinge to your skin. Mm-hmm. Whereas if you have a warm undertone, you'll look more golden, and you often tan easily, and, like, you have a more, like, golden look to your skin. Mm-hmm. And I think what Color Me Beautiful realized was that, you know, through working with clients for so many years, like 40 years or whatever, a lot of people are neutral. Mm. Like, do you guys even know your undertone?
I think I'm neutral.
I'm more neutral, cool. But
yes.
Because whenever I do, like, a, like, full-on cool foundation or concealer, it's very, very light and way too pink.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm. Whereas the other one, if I go warm, it's very, very golden and yellow. So I do,
it's kind of in
it's always like whenever I get a foundation or concealer, it's always like a neutral.
Yeah.
So can you go over how someone might go about finding their undertone, and if you have darker, more melanated skin, like what do you do there? Because mm-hmm. I think a lot of this is like, I think it's easier if you're fair skin, and a lot of these principles are probably built off of fair skin. Mm-hmm. And now, you know, like,
yeah,
how do you go about doing this in like a universal way?
Yeah. So we, first of all, like, undertone, yeah, we look at the skin, but again, the reality is just that so many people are neutral, so we can look at other things too to like build on undertone. We can look at pigments in your hair, we can look at pigments in your eyes too, even your eyebrows, like, because sometimes I have people who have like red hair, cool skin, and it's like, okay, well, those two are like opposites, like, how do I then place myself? Mm-hmm. So that's like, we can look at other things, like, between those three factors, skin, hair, and eyes. But there's like a lot of, you know, people will often tell you to look at your veins.
Yeah. And I'm like, I don't know what color these are.
Yeah. I think we talked about it too. Yeah. And I kind of hate to say it, but I don't think a lot of trained consultants would like tell you to do that, because it's hard, especially with the skin overtone, can kind of affect how your veins look. So basically the principle is that if you look at your wrist, if your veins are green, then you'll have a warm undertone. And if they're like blue, purplish, you'll have a cool undertone. And if they're kind of a mix, then you're neutral.
Like,
and I feel like most
purple.
People say they have both.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. So that's why we don't really use that as a pro. So best thing you can do is color comparison.
Okay.
So that could be, for example, the silver test. I find that to be a little bit better, because you compare, okay, if you have gold and silver jewelry, you try on first a gold necklace and then a silver necklace, and then you see which one of the two looks better. But even then, like,
it's like, it's all based on your opinion, right?
Yeah,
like,
I said this before, like, color, as much as we love color analysis to be A plus B equals C, it's not. Mm-hmm. It's some consultants will even like disagree, like, what color type someone is. Mm-hmm. Like, that's just because we perceive color differently.
Yes.
So that's a whole other aspect too, I think, that people need to keep in the back of their mind. There's not always a straightforward answer. Some people have several consultations before they land on something that they can get on board with too. But yeah, color comparison, so gold versus silver. But even then, I find that people are like, well, I think both look great,
right?
So
mm-hmm.
So there are other ways that we And I think for me, that's why I don't necessarily focus so much on undertone. Not to say that it's not important, because as you say, Christina, like especially with makeup, if you're not getting the undertone right, it's just going to end up looking chalky and like off somehow. But that's not necessarily where you need to like put your focus. I think like lay off the whole undertone like obsession a little bit, and then focus more on like your dominant traits. If it's all like too overwhelming and too confusing to you.
Does this idea of focusing on the dominant traits also allow you to kind of be more flexible with the palette as you age and as you change? Because like a lot of women, like our hair changes.
Exactly.
Everything. So how does that give you that flexibility?
It does. Yeah. And that's also, again, because we don't, undertone in skin pretty much stays the same for your entire life. Like sometimes your skin can like get a little bit more grayish when you age,
right?
But undertone roughly stays the same. So that's why, again, with the seasonal approach, you're often told that, you know, well, you'll have this palette forever, which is great. I love that kind of way of thinking, like it's an investment, and like I love that. But then in reality, I have lots of clients who come back to me and then say, okay, well, my hair is like really gray now. I have a lot more contrast now than I had before. So we can actually go back in and say, okay, well, we can tweak
like
it.
Readjust.
Yeah.
Yeah, which seems nice.
Yeah, yeah. And also you always have the flexibility to like say, okay, well, I know this isn't my best color, but then you'll know what to pair it with. So for you, for example, let's say you're a deep, and like today you're wearing like a light blue.
Yeah.
I think it looks great
on
you.
I love light blue on me. I think like the light pastels.
Yeah, and maybe because you do have like some cooler tones to your hair, and like, so it could be like, and even in your eyes, there's something there I think that looks really nice. So just because you're deep doesn't mean that you can't wear, because I would describe this as more of a pastel blue, because the light blue,
because it's so pale.
So in theory you would need to wear a darker denim, like kind of like my jeans here, which is a darker blue, like not completely but a little bit darker, you know.
Interesting.
But I think it still looks great. And there are ways that you can, okay, let's say you did wear that and you like it, but you feel like it looks a little washed out on you.
Yeah,
you can always wear like a little black turtleneck underneath,
right?
Because that's a deeper color,
okay,
to bring in that depth. Right.
So it's not like, okay, so this idea, like, I'm deep, say you're, what's
soft.
Soft. The idea is to work with it, not to do the contrast. It's not like, oh, I'm deep, so I should put soft colors to contrast. No,
it
you should lean into it. You want, lean into what you have.
Yeah.
I also like that principle more, I think.
Yeah.
Okay.
And, you know, even me as a soft, I'm told to, like, wear more tonal, not too much contrast.
Oh.
But I do like contrast, too. So it's not like, but then I can, I actually have some examples here.
Yeah,
so,
like how would you do contrast if you like contrast?
Actually, like, you have this,
yes.
This is the Cezanne Leontine jumper, the one with the little button placket, and then it has stripes. So essentially, like, a classic stripey.
And if you
sweater.
Are listening, so this sweater that Sina is holding up is like a cream tone. It's a cream color, so light to white cream, and then it has
brown.
I would say just brown, and it's like a classic mid brown, a rich brown stripe, horizontal stripes going across.
Yeah, so I chose this one especially because I feel like it's less harsh, like the white with the brown is a little less harsh and a little less contrasting than
versus
like black
stripes.
And
here, should I go get mine? So we
sure.
Ooh. Show and tell, visual
show
example.
And tell.
So Alyssa is just going to get, she has the same sweater, except her stripes, I believe, are black. So it's still cream and then black. And I guess an even higher contrast would be if this was a true white and black, that would be even higher.
Yeah, so. Oh, yours actually look a little bit
mine
more
is
creamy.
Almost a little bit more yellowy.
Yeah,
creamy.
Yeah. That's more of an ivory, I would say, whereas this is more
like
soft white.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
So again, this is where it comes together too, right? Higher contrast, which is great for you. You're deep, you have a strong look, so strong combination.
Nice.
Whereas I'm soft, I tone it down a little bit, and that kind of complements my softer look.
Right. So
I do like that too. I have like
you.
A t-shirt in a stronger, but then I can wear it with a, instead of then putting a black blazer or a black or dark navy on top, I can go for like a charcoal gray. So something that's not as
harsh
and heavy as black.
Oh, cool.
So we also talk a lot about how to wear your colors. And I think that's another point that people, you don't really get that when you're just trying to figure out what season, when you get very focused on figuring out what season am I, what color type am I.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, that's great, but how do you wear your colors in like the best possible way.
Mm-hmm. Like, and I think this actually is helpful too, because and I did a video on this, on how to, so it's not necessarily, the video is not necessarily about what your best colors are, but it's if you want to wear a color, how you combine it.
And I think love that video, yeah.
When you're speaking about contrast, high contrast versus low contrast, I think when people get their palettes, I think the natural inclination is like, so what if this like bright fuchsia is in my palette?
Yeah.
And I'm like, what do I wear this with? And I think the natural inclination would be to wear it with like white or black, which is very high contrast.
Yeah.
But what if you're a soft? And that like that can feel almost costing me like almost 80s, right? Like, or if I combine like red and black, to me it can read, it reads like a little bit emo or like My Chemical Romance, a little bit gothic, right?
Yeah.
And which nothing wrong with that. No. But if it feels too high contrast, then like this. So maybe pairing it with a charcoal gray instead to bring that down, or like a slate brown, or instead of, so moving away from like the black and white as your, as what you combine colors with, to other colors in like, in different intensities and in different shades, I think is a way to play around with that contrast, but just like combine colors in a way that's more interesting and feels less harsh.
Yeah.
Totally.
And even that, you know, that approach, and also like, yeah, high contrast or not, like which is the best way for you to explore color.
Mm-hmm.
Like it also teaches people to like wear what you already have differently.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, so, yeah, I love that.
Yeah, so I think a lot of people will think, okay, well, once I know my color type,
then I have to go shopping.
Yes.
And yeah, okay. Yeah. So I have, like, I'm probably, because I have brought in more color to my own wardrobe. Mm-hmm. So yes, I have been shopping.
Yes.
But this is a tool on how to shop better, right?
Exactly. Like, and it's been over 2 years now. So it's like, and it's not super, I think sometimes people still get confused as to, okay, you work with color and you're wearing that. Like, it's, where are the colors? But even neutrals, and I think we spoke about that in the first episode too. Like for you, for example, like, okay, deeper, richer, like stronger neutrals, like, you know, chocolate brown, navy, you know, something that's a little bit more rich, whereas okay, then I can explore charcoal and like even sage green, I find, is like a great neutral, very versatile, and like they're you know, because like you say, like a lot of people will like be, okay, I want to wear an accent color like blue, and then I'm gonna pair it with black because black is safe and black goes with everything. And we've talked about brown even on this trip, like how versatile is chocolate brown. Like it looks great with everything.
Yeah, I think it's gorgeous.
Yeah,
I think brown and gray are like the unsung heroes. Yeah,
navy,
of
color. Navy,
yeah. Navy and olive green, those are like
olive green is a great neutral too.
So then I guess with that, and you know your undertone, so it's like anybody can wear an olive green, but can you go for like a warmer green versus a cooler green?
Yes, there's definitely, for me, for example, my palette has a mix of both, like my dominant palette, which is soft, has a mix of both warm and cool colors. Your dominant palette, which is deep, has a mix of both warm and cool colors.
Mm-hmm.
And then of course, we look at undertone as more of a secondary trait. So that's why you have that secondary clear and cool palette like on the side,
right? Okay.
Which is only 12 colors out of the full 42. So again, it just shows how undertone doesn't have to be the most important like trait about your look. If you feel like it is, let's say you're like, I absolutely cannot wear yellow, you have a yellow in your palette, if you're like, I cannot wear, I look sick, it like I can't, then maybe your dominant trait is cool, because you have a very cool look, and cooler colors work better with that. Yeah, and then on the contrary, let's say you feel like you look horrible in cool colors, and maybe your dominant trait or dominant color type would be warm.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not to write off like undertone altogether, but it's like expand a little bit, like explore other sides of color analysis.
Yeah.
And also get to the filter, like you got really confused with that filter, right? Because you felt like...
I did, yeah. So it's, we'll make sure to leave the video I made in the show notes, but there's this TikTok filter that's going around where it's sort of and people are saying like, you know, make sure your hair is back and don't wear makeup and face the window, and then it kind of drapes. So it's a new filter, because there's one where you stick your face in the middle and then there's all these colors sort of sunbursting out of your head, and it's like, and that's and that's the spring, summer, fall, winter, and it's just like, what? So this one I think was trying to solve the problem of because the traditional way I think I see people do color analysis is with the drape. So they put like a little scarf around your neck in that color, and they'll go like, okay, one or two, one or two.
kind of like at the optometrist.
Eye doctor, I was just thinking.
Yeah. So this filter kind of puts the color where it's like wrapped around your neck. And it would go, it went spring, summer, autumn, winter, and like, you know, the springs were like really pastel-y and desaturated. Summer, I think, was still lighter, but maybe like more
softer.
Yeah, and then I got so confused because autumn was like very, very deep, but maybe cooler, and then the winter ones were really, really bright. But I'm like, I know Sina did my color analysis, and I think any of those colors showing up in the autumn versus the winter would have been in my palette. And then the other thing I said was, like, aesthetically, I was more drawn to the autumn colors in that filter, which were more like plums and burgundies and like a navy blue as opposed to like a bright white, a bright clear blue.
And I love that. Yeah, I love it. And it's a good point because I have people who are sometimes in between. I think we had that conversation in the original video we did on your channel, the analysis we did, where I said, I see clarity, I see deep. Those are like, when I look at you, that's the first two things that come to mind. So we did like a test, are you dominant deep or are you dominant clear? And that's where personality is such an important approach, you know? Because you're like, but the
I would
like,
never wear would the I, clear colors.
Yeah, so I was like, let's make that a secondary part of your palette so that you can definitely explore that because it is part of your look.
Yeah.
But let's stick to the dominant deep palette because it's so much more you.
Yeah. So this is like, what do you do if, like, I hate all the colors in my palette? Like, I don't want to wear these colors, so what do I do? Yeah. So that helps because I think, like, so with the color Me Beautiful, I think you get, so you get the, you get, like, your depth, you get your clarity, and then you get your undertone.
Yes.
So you have much more to play with. So I think, like, there can't be a color in there that, like, I feel like you don't hate all, like, there can't be a way that you hate all
of
them.
There's too many options.
And, like, because I think also prior to getting your color analysis, you're wearing a version of color anyway, even if you do only wear black and white, that's like, that's, then that's, you know, that's your color palette kind of thing. So,
I just want to say again, I think, you know, I just want to say that seasonal analysis is not bad at all. I actually know clients who have taken training in both and they like to combine it. And that's very much like a consultant thing, you know, do whatever. And some people really like the seasonal approach. And if I was trained in that, then I would probably love it. I was trained in the other one. And I'm like, I'm really glad I chose that one. And having been working with it now for 2 years, it's like, it just makes, it clicks to me because I used to be one of the skeptics too. Like I used to be really skeptical about color analysis until I found this technique and I was like, okay, I'm going to choose that for training. And now I've used it a lot and it's like, it just, I just love it. It's, yeah, I really love that approach. So it's not to slag off other techniques or anything because everyone like are doing their own thing, but it's just, I think, we need to, it's not a religion. Like, we need to just step back a little bit. And also keep the debate, like, kind and, like, open. Because I feel like people will be like, no, it's not correct. She's a this or she's a that, you know?
I think all of these things are just, it's just knowledge. It's just knowledge and it's tools and it's about how you use it.
And trial and error trial and trying and things on.
I was just gonna say, I think it's a bit of intuition too.
Yes.
Like, I think I almost feel like you almost naturally know what colors look better on you, and like we always describe the feeling of like feeling off. Then I think like I mostly feel that with makeup. Like if I wear warmer makeup, then I'm like, I just don't know. I feel like things look a little ill, or like I'm choosing the wrong bronzer. I feel like I almost have the wrong bronzer on today. I don't know. Yeah, like, I think you get a sense. But then the other thing I would like to talk about is, like, what do you do when you just want to wear a color that you know is not flat, like, flattering?
Quote-unquote.
It's not your best. What do you do?
I can use an example from my... I don't have black in my palette, for example, because, again, black is rich, deep, it's strong. So I have charcoal gray instead, for example, which is, like, the closest I get to black. But I still have a black biker and I still wear like I am wearing a black belt today. I have black handbags, like I even wear shoes. Black coat. So maybe if you do decide for yourself that, yeah, maybe it is like making me look a little bit tired and maybe I could explore like other ways of wearing that color, then okay, well, try to wear your black wool coat with a beige scarf or a beige hat to kind of soften up the color a little bit. So again, that's where the dominant trait, the keyword, comes into play. So for me, that would be, okay, how can I soften up the color if it's a bright or like a strong color? For you guys as like deep color types, that would be, okay, if I'm wearing a paler color, how can I give it depth and like, so how can I bring back some of that strength that I need in my color? So again, that's where, and that's what I really like. You have that keyword to like, even let's say you find out that that's your keyword. If you don't have the exact the color palette, you don't even need that. Like you have the word, okay, soft, which means I need to go for colors that have like a slightly more grayish tinge to them, kind of punctured, not too bright. So you know, okay, I have the option to buy a bright blazer. I have the option to buy a softer colored one. I'm going to go for the softer colored one. So I think it brings it down to earth a little bit and makes it a bit more approachable, kind of.
Yeah, for sure. And I think even just like, if you like the color, just wear it.
Exactly.
Yeah,
exactly. Like, yeah. You're right. Yeah, because there are several things that need to align when you're getting dressed. One thing is like getting the keywords right, like getting the proportions right, getting the textures right. And color is on that list too. And you can't always align all of those.
Yeah. And I think it takes a bit of trial and error, and like there's definitely going to be some flops in there. The other thing I was thinking is like sometimes I find like a charcoal gray will wash me out, but I really like it and I want to wear it. So maybe, and I like, if I don't want to do like a deeper scarf or turtleneck, like let's say I just want to wear it open and show that skin, I guess makeup could be a way. Like I would have to deepen my makeup. Is that another technique?
Makeup and even just a piece of jewelry too sometimes, like if
or earrings or something.
I do think you look great in charcoal gray though. Let's say again, this sort of color comparison is important. Let's say you have the option to go for charcoal gray, which is a dark gray, and then a really light gray on the other hand. So you know, okay, deep, I'm gonna go for the deeper one. So that's where you can like loosen up the rules a little bit,
right?
Yeah,
comparison is so key. Did you learn anything about like the psychology behind certain colors?
Yes, we did have that as part of the training, and I have it as part of like my little consultant manual. So because that's really, that's a part of the whole thing too.
Because like, what if, for example, like there's a colorful, there's a color that, I don't know, like these colors that are supposed to make you feel like powerful or whatever, and then you want to like really like nail an interview or nail a presentation, and you kind of feel like, oh, I have to wear like navy or whatever, like I have to be taken seriously, so I need to wear dark colors. And like, what would you say to someone who feels that need, but say for example they're a softer palette? Like, just wear the softer color, right? That'll come through.
And I think it's always, I mean, there's the phrase, you know, dress for the job you want, or like dress for like the life you want to live. So that definitely has power to it too, I think. And I guess you can dress more creatively, or you can dress more, you know, professionally, like you mentioned, navy and black and those kind of colors that have like an air of authority to them almost. So for me, like I have navy in my palette too, but it will just be a like slightly softer version of like the really deep one. And I feel like, you know, dark gray could be like a, you know, it's a sort of black too. So I feel like, you know.
Why do you think all of these like darker, more bold colors are associated with authority and stuff? Like what?
I think, it, you know? I think maybe it's because, again, the thing I think about when I see like a deep navy is strong.
Yeah,
it's very like the drama, like the strength in it. And it's, you know, the color choice for like uniforms.
Right.
So it's. It just has this air of like, I'm in control. Similar to red, for example. There are red in all palettes, like even mine.
That's cool.
But it will be like when you compare it to the other reds, it, you can see that, okay, it's actually kind of punctured. But on its own, it's like, whoa, can I wear it? I mean,
Like deflated, like desaturated.
Yeah, exactly. You know, covered. Like when you're editing a picture and you're like turning down the saturation.
The opacity.
Yeah.
Because like, I think this is a great example. I'm just showing a purple like
a lavender
shirt.
Purpley shirt.
But it's not like the bright. It's like a grayish lavender.
There's a ring three color.
Yeah. It would, like an ish.
Yes.
Ish. Yeah. Color. Purplish color.
Okay.
So so everyone can wear red. But again, just think about your keyword. So most people will say that a soft can't wear red because it's too intense.
Right.
But that's the psychology of red.
Okay. Right. So because red is intense.
Yeah. So it's like, okay, if you're like having a speech or you're like, I don't know, you can use it as a mood booster on a gray Wednesday, or you can like be, okay, I want to be the center of attention. If you're a psychologist and you're having clients, maybe red is not the color because it can also be a little intimidating. So maybe the more approachable neutrals would be great in that. So it's really about figuring out which situations to wear which colors. Which is another
I like that again, because it's almost like another focus on you and what you want. And I think when you you're getting dressed in with the direction as, okay, what do I want? What do I need? Then you're in a place that is in so much better alignment with who you are versus this is what XYZ told me to wear in this situation and in this for this thing. Do you know what I mean?
I almost think like how, like, oh, if I'm going for this interview at this like law firm or something, I don't know, well, maybe that's a bit too an extreme. Maybe they would want you to wear the navy and the black. But like, speaking from like a confidence and like feeling your best, like if you're, like, I think I would take Sina just as seriously in her full-on
100%
sage green suit, because we talk about aura a lot. We talked about that in the last episode of just like, you can feel when a person feels shrunken and not great and like fussy in clothing. And maybe like, this is just another element of like you showing up in a sage suit versus a black one. Maybe black communicates like power and masculinity and authority and all like all things. Of that stuff. But if Sina's feeling her best in her best colors, in a suit of her best colors, I feel like that will come through even more 100%. Versus like if you shrunk yourself down in what you thought you were supposed to wear. I'd almost feel like if you were feeling uncomfortable in that, like it's like clothes wearing you, right? Like you'd feel uncomfortable and not quite yourself, and maybe that would come through in the interview, right?
So yeah, it's you're like, so right. There's so many ways to explore color than just color analysis. So I think like let's make the conversation more nuanced, and let's you know, think about like psychology of color too, and like wearing certain colors in certain like situations, and instead of only focusing on like what's my undertone.
I learned a lot. I thought was really helpful.
I learned a lot too.
If there's any questions for Sina, leave us a comment down below if you're watching on YouTube. And if you want to book a color consultation with Sina, it is a great time. You're going to learn so much. It's really inspiring. So we'll make sure to leave that down below as well.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. Catch us in the next one. Bye.
Bye.
Thank you so much for joining in our conversation this week. If you're enjoying the show, we'd love it if you subscribe to the podcast on Spotify and Apple and leave us a rating and review. It's one of the best ways to support the Sustain This podcast at zero cost to you.
We're also a community-led podcast, so if you have any questions for us, topic requests, or even guests you want to hear from, please send us a DM on Instagram at sustainthis_podcast. We read all of our comments and look forward to hearing from you. We hope you join us again next Tuesday, where we'll talk about so much more than clothes. Ciao!